Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio's Tuesday morning show, where ASI's most opinionated editors talk promo products and more. I'm Joe Haley, and I'll be your guest host today. That's right, I'm in the driver's seat steering this baby for the next 30 minutes.
Let's not crash.
Hey, I'm a little tired. Hope we don't crash. I'm a little tired staying up late watching this fantastic World Series.
Woo!
Our ringleader, Melinda Lygos, is in Carlsbad, California at the La Costa Resort and Spa for the 2009 ASI Power Summit. And as we sit here on the air, she's leading a session, so we won't be hearing from her today. But we do have two of our regulars with us. Michelle Bell, the diva of disaster, is up and about. Michelle, how's the left coast treating you?
It's just super. I'm the diva of disaster. Last night I was the diva of restraint. I was in bed by 9.
We heard.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, we heard. We all felt a little tremor, too.
We were shocked and awed.
Also on the line is the one and only Andy Captain Killjoy Cohen. Andy, last night Counselor's Power 50 was announced as a collective group. Where did ASI Radio end up being ranked?
We're at the very top of the list, Joe.
Of course.
It sounds
Aren't
like you
we
said
the most influential in this market.
You know it.
Well, you know, we are the number one ranked radio show in the ad specialty industry.
Wait, are we?
We.
Back home here in our state-of-the-art studio in downtown Trevose, we have the loud and lovely Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine. Now, Kath, I know you love teams from Philly and New York, but who are you pulling for in this World
Series? The Phillies.
All right, way to go, Kath.
How do you feel about Derek Jeter?
I am Philly Red. I love Derek Jeter. Yeah,
How do you feel about A-Rod?
I hate him.
Okay, we'll move on. We also have two special in-studio guests today. First, there's counselor staff writer, broadcast phenom, Dave Vagnoni.
Phenom.
Dave,
like
you went to the Flyers game yesterday and saw a good one. Were you able to get home in time for the Phillies?
Yes, actually, the traffic was better getting out than it was getting down there. So
okay.
I made it back for bottom of the first.
Very good. Sitting next to Dave is ASI's Director of Education and editor of Stitches Magazine, Nicole Rollander. Now, Nicole, as we inch closer to the start of another show season, are there going to be any new education offerings you'd like to talk about?
Well, Joe, we actually have revamped and refreshed our entire ASI show education offerings for 2010, so we're really excited for Orlando. Plus, we're going to have General Colin Powell as our keynote speaker at the Orlando show. So we're really excited about everything, but we're also working on the new distributor track, which has helped a lot of people this year, so we're excited to bring that back.
And we also have a big name coming to San Diego as well.
Tony Robbins.
Right, back by popular demand. All right, finally, rocking our board is Steve Hawk, who came to work on Friday dressed as a can of Spam. And working the phones is the always lovely Samantha Tucker, the Queen of Hearts.
How come I'm the only...
She's the Queen of Hearts because that's what she wore.
Nice.
All right, today on the show, we want to help you with your cold calling and prospecting dilemmas. That's right. No one likes to do it, but you have no choice. So give us a call at 215-953-4979 or send an email to radio@asicentral.com. And if we put you on the air, you'll score a $25 Visa gift card. But first, let's get the show rundown from our own Kathy Houston.
Thanks, Joey. We have a jam-packed show today, beginning with the Power Summit Report, as Joe said, including the big reveal of the Power 50 from our very own dynamic duo, Andy and Michelle, all the way in sunny California. And you know, Joe, as you said, lots of people hate cold calling,
yes,
so give us a ring with your cold calling questions, and we'll see if we can help warm things up. Then, Joe, you will tell us how to re-energize a burned-out workforce, and appropriately, Nicole will talk about four obnoxious attitudes in the office.
And we'll guess which one we all fit into.
Dave will put the spotlight on four sectors leading the market, and I, ever the optimist, will bring you a report on a positive employment outlook. Then hopefully we will be fortunate enough to hear Joe's rant of the week. And there are a few more items on tap, but I'll leave you in suspense. And first, Dave will bring you the news.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Good morning again, everyone. Leading off the news, last night's announcement of the Counselor Power 50 list for 2009, sharing the top spot are Nicola Pio, the CEO of Big APP, and Paul Lagi, president of Norwood. Rounding out the first five are Sanmar's Marty Lott, Greg and Vera Muzillo of Proforma, Mark Simon of Haley Lee Wayne at number 4, and Gene Geiger and Joanne Lance of Geiger at number 5. In total, there are 14 newcomers to the list this year. Coming up more live from Carlsbad, much more on the Power Summit and the Power 50 list with Andy Cohen and Michelle Bell. Also today, a new president and CEO for Supplier Senator Promotional Group, Bob Tidwell, takes over for Jim Burrow, who resigned earlier this year. Most recently, Tidwell was a division president for the Magnet Group. He has 10 years of experience in the ad specialty industry. Next up, creativity counts. A new ASI survey shows end buyers most often look for creativity when deciding on a distributor, much more so than price recommendations. Those surveyed also said they believe promotional products are the second most effective marketing tool available, only second to the internet, but much more useful than newspaper, radio, and even network television. Continuing on, we have some mixed economic news. First, the bad, consumer confidence slipped in October, according to the latest Conference Board Index. Now the good, the Commerce Department is estimating that the gross domestic product in the U.S. grew 3.5% in the third quarter, a sign of economic recovery. And finally, the best news of all, later in program, your chance to catch the latest episode of The Joe Show, where Joe tells me he will dazzle your senses. So stay tuned for that.
Ooh. It's going to be like
Dave.
That's 3D
quite
experience
for today's video.
Psychedelic.
All right, Andy, Melinda, and Michelle are out on the left coast at the ASI Power Summit, and let's go first to Andy. Andy, what happened last night at the Power 50 dinner?
Well, first I have to paint a little picture for everybody here, because this is me and Michelle in the same room on separate phones. We're in my room here early morning, so everybody can have their own image on that.
Did she spend the night?
Thanks for that.
As Dave said, we did exclusively announce the Power 50 last night. There are 14 new people on it. The highest new person on the list is actually Nick Coe, who comes from Land's End. You know, our feeling was that Land's End, with them expanding their ad specialty offerings, certainly has an impact on the market and the way that that distributors will go to market in the next few years. So that's one highlight. We also last night talked to Anthony Corsano, the head of Anvil Knitwear, who's a newcomer on the list, and there's a video that will be up on our website, I believe, later this morning.
Andy, with 14 new people on the list, that means some of our previous members had to move off the list. Was there any type of reaction last night from the crowd afterwards?
You know, I didn't hear any reaction, actually. I don't know if any of those people were there or not who got knocked off, but some of the 14 new people are actually additions to other lines, like Jim Hagen from Sweeta was added, but he didn't take anybody's place. He was actually just added to Bill Karowitz and Peter Seidler. So a couple were just additions to the list, but not necessarily taking spots of other people on the list.
And the dinner itself, how did that go over?
Oh, it was great. We were set up just around this pool, big pool. We had like 25 tables all around the pool, and Rich Fairfield and Melinda Lagos delivered the list of Power 50, and everybody was really into it. It was a fun evening, you know, there was lots of, let's say, drinking and revelry.
Oh, very good. Now, rumor has it that you're a terrible golfer. How'd the golf outing go yesterday?
Well, Joe, I lived up to my terrible golfer billing because I was god awful yesterday. But you know what? We had a good time. There was drink carts on the golf course, and that's really all that mattered.
All right. Well, we also have Michelle Bell on the line. And Michelle, you have a session coming up later on today. What is your impressions of the Power Summit been so far?
I do. My session starts actually in an hour. And I think it's been great so far. People seem really happy. There was a spirited session yesterday with Randy Chen from Impex and Mel Ellis from the Humphrey Line over which is better, made in USA products, or is it better to import from China? And that was pretty, both it was interesting and funny at the same time.
What was the conclusion?
And I think it's been great. It's been a nice mix of education and networking.
Now, did everyone vote on who the winner was of that discussion? Were there little signs of placards? Oh.
I think that they were equally entertained and informed by both people.
And now, on Sunday night at the dinner, there was a special guest speaker. How was that?
That was great. That was great. He showed some videos. His name was Gordon, and he was the director of marketing for New Line Cinema. So he showed a lot of examples of great viral marketing campaigns that people really, really seem to like.
Do we have a sense from the people there in attendance what they're thinking about 2010, how bad that looks in the way of maybe a recovery for the industry?
We do. Actually, we moderated some breakout sessions yesterday, and in my session, about 50 people there, and 80% of them said that they're already up in this quarter and that they are looking to be up in 2010. So I would say it's optimistic.
Well, that's good news all around for everyone. Now, Andy, you ran a session yesterday as well, correct?
Oh, I'm sorry, Andy, tell me something. What?
Can I speak?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. I didn't know if you could hear me. We also had an economist yesterday, Roger Farmer, who's the head of the economics department at UCLA. very interesting stuff that he delivered. He was the first session in the morning yesterday, and he gave people an overview as to about sort of why the economy got into the mess it's in and his kind of forecast about how things are coming. And he, you know, he gave a little bit of a reality check because, you know, obviously everything is not so great out there. And he even said that he pulled all of his money out of the stock market last week because he's expecting the stock market to pull back from what it's been doing lately. So he had some interesting things to say for sure that the audience was very, very captured with.
Okay. Well, we still have a half day left of the Power Summit. Andy, up until now, what's your number one takeaway going to be from this event?
Well, I would say my number one takeaway, I have a couple. The first is the information that the Economist gave. He he laid out some signs that people could look for as far as real recovery is concerned, and, you know, that's confidence getting better. He kind of called the whole crisis a crisis of confidence. So his number one thing was to look for both business and consumer confidence levels to increase, hopefully. So that's one thing. And then I moderated a panel yesterday that was called What I'm Doing Right, and that was a panel of four executives from two suppliers, two distributors, and they were from companies that had double-digit growth in 2009, and they just shared some very interesting marketing strategies that they've had to get that growth, operational strategies, and employee motivation and culture, corporate culture type strategies that have led to what the kind of growth that most companies haven't been able to achieve in this market so far this year.
Very good. All right. Michelle, same question to you, and then we'll let you go because we know you have your session coming up. What's your number one takeaway so far from this event?
That people are more positive, that they are generally looking to 2010, that there'll be an uptick, and that they're more, I would say, confident about what their sales are going to be.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Andy and Michelle. We know you still have work to do out there in California. We look forward to seeing you back here in the home office when you get back, so have a safe trip back.
All right. Thank
you. Have fun,
guys.
Thanks. All right. Before we move on, we're going to hear from a message from one of our sponsors today, Kathy.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteYou.com.
All right, Ed, welcome back. As we said earlier, we will be taking your calls today on your cold calling and prospecting dilemma. So ring us up at 215-953-4979, or you can always send an email to radio@asicentral.com. And we do have some callers on the line right now. So on line five, we have Melanie. Melanie, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
That's good. That's such a nice name, Melanie.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. How can we help you?
Well, I was wondering if you could share some information on maybe going door to door to find new customers. Is it really worth my time to do that?
There are a lot of people in the industry who still believe on that drop-by sales call, just showing up to a prospect, introducing yourself, bringing a spec sample, either with your own information on it that you leave behind or with the company that you're visiting, a spec sample with their logo and information on that. So bring gifts for gatekeepers because they're the people who will, you know, be able to let you in to see the decision maker. And there's also creative ways you can do that. Consider stopping by in the morning with coffee in an imprinted urn. You can deliver that also with donuts or a basket of treats that you got from the industry. So it's always going to put your name in front of them, and it's going to be a creative way. Maybe you do that once a month, once, you know, every other month, just a way to just keep visiting until you get that sales call.
I have an idea, too. It's from an article that's in our October issue of Advantages on small gestures that you could do to bring big sales. This one company was trying to get in to meet with a prospect, kept getting refused. So what they did was they sent two pizzas at lunchtime, mm-hmm. got a call, made a bunch of sales. Now they're a loyal client. So little things like that can lead to big results.
You have to think outside the box. I know a distributor in Chicago that actually brings her dog along. And, you know, who's going to say no to that?
Right.
You have to think differently, especially the way things are nowadays.
Exactly. Sure. And if things are tough now, no one's going to come banging down your door, so you have to go bang down some doors. A lot of people work in industrial parks where there's a lot of companies you can just go visiting. Take that day, take 2 days, an afternoon, whatever it is, a morning, to go face-to-face. And you know, people like to do business with, you know, someone that they like and know. So
that's
if they
right.
see you, it's better than just this call. And it's a lot easier than making a call, too. I know a lot of people hate it. So, Melanie, I hope we helped.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Okay, stay on the line, and we'll get your information to get that gift card out to you.
Great.
On line four, we have Kim. Kim, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're terrific. How can we help you today, Kim?
All right, well, to say I dislike cold calling is an understatement. So I was wondering, my kids are involved in a variety of activities, and I just wondered if it was smart to network within those parent circles, because frankly, I do anything that keeps me off the phones trolling for new business. So what do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea. You know, it's networking. It's also more of a, rather than a cold lead, it's a warm lead. You can make relationships with these people, and it could lead to possible sales at their companies or their places of business. So, you know, think about what can you do for the team. Maybe they all want to get sweatshirts. Maybe they all want to get jackets or something, and you can provide that for the team, giving everyone a discount. But, you know, if it's something everyone likes, they're going to ask you, where did you get it from? And there's your lead right there that you're in.
And, you know, another thing that decorators and some distributors do is they do home shows. You know, they invite a lot of parents or whoever to their home. They have refreshments, and people show, you know, the different team jerseys and apparel and promotional products that they have, and people actually are able to buy them and socialize at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So even if you don't have the business for the organizations, you know, whether it's a sports team or a club at school, at least you can do something for what your kids are directly involved with their teams. And, you know, hopefully it goes from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, Kim, hopefully we gave you some good information. Stay on the line, and Samantha will get your information. Moving on line three, and they're still all lit up, we have Debbie. Debbie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're terrific. What can we do for you, Deb?
Well, the local Chamber of Commerce has invited me to several events, but I'm not so sure about them. Do they just want my money, or is there a real opportunity there to make connections?
I think there's absolutely positively real opportunity there. You can actually exhibit at some of their events, and there's other business people there, people from the business community. So they're going to see what you're going to do. It's going to cost you a little bit of money, but any type of marketing will. Also consider your Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Clubs. They're all business-related clubs within the area, and they usually have a luncheon once a month. And you can see that when you come into a lot of small towns, they'll have signs out, you know, front to tell you where the luncheon is every week and or every month. And what time it is. So if you have the opportunity there, again, you're going to be networking with business people. You're not on the phone. You're going to make a lot of connections in a shorter amount of time than having to dial people up.
The key is to be aggressive, too. You don't want to go and just waste your time.
Right.
If you're going to go, make the time useful. And there, I think some of the most successful companies in the industry are now kind of pushing their salespeople to make these connections and go networking.
Right.
And that's how you make sales.
Definitely.
Yeah. And if you also have a good elevator pitch, you can tell people what you do in an engaging way. Plus, if you have some case studies, if somebody is a restaurant owner and you say to them, hey, I've been working with restaurants to get new clients. Here's what I've done. This is what I can do for you. So really be prepared when you go to these events.
Even yeah, set up like a tabletop show at one of them. And you'll be able to show them what you do right live and in person.
You know, and if you really want to be proactive, a few years ago I was down in Delray Beach to interview the one and only Promo Girl, and we went to a networking luncheon. It was organized by a women's business group. It was very interesting. Everyone sat at tables of eight as they ate lunch. One at a time, people at each table would get up and introduce themselves and talk about the products and services that they offered. It was basically an elevator pitch. They had 1 to 2 minutes to talk. And if people wanted to make a connection with them, they got up from their seats and gave them business cards. So you only make connections with the people you want to make connections with. It was a neat idea. So if you're aggressive and you have some time, it's something you might want to explore, and it'll get you off the film.
Okay, those are some great ideas.
Well, thanks, Deb. Stay on the line, and Samantha will get your information. We'll get that Visa gift card out for you. On line one, we have Paul. Paul, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
We're terrific. How can we help you, Paul?
You know what? We are a decorator based out of Southern California, and I was wondering, how do we, you know, I do cold calling, interact with our clients, and how do we compete against our wholesale distributors? Because they're doing the same thing with our clients.
Well, I think the advantage that you have as a decorator is that you really understand the imprinting processes. You know, a lot of distributors who are selling wearables they make promises that they can't meet. They say we can screen print this kind of material in this turnaround time, but it's incorrect. So what you have is really being able to go in there and to show them the different options that they can buy, you know, within their budget. Plus, you can really show them how to mix up the imprint options to create a cool multimedia piece.
Plus, you could also work with those distributors because a lot of times they outsource the imprinting and embroidery processes. So you could work with them, too, as partners.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have in the past, I know we've been approached by, you know, bigger distributors about doing things, but what then we find is a lot of stuff goes overseas and they kind of bypass us.
Well, you know, if you keep it local and then you really focus on that aspect of it, the turnaround time will be quicker if you're keeping it within the states and within, like, the region or, you know, a certain section of the country. Once they have to go outsource something to overseas, their lead time is going to increase by a few weeks. And there's a lot of hassles with, you know, tariffs coming in and the Federal Trade Commission and stuff. So, you know, being a homegrown business is an important thing. And as Nicole said, you are providing that service. You can use your expertise to help sell that thing.
That's right. And plus, you could spotlight your quality control measures, too. Because you are a locally centered embroiderer or decorator, you can tell them all about your quality control, and they're not going to have to worry about importing something from overseas and then it being all messed up.
And also, if you want to, you know, push that kind of made in the USA or union made aspect, you can show them products that are, you know, USA made and kind of keep it, because there are a lot of buyers who prefer that right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate your time, guys. It was great.
Sure, no, Paul, stay on the line and Samantha will get your information and we'll get your Visa gift card out to you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. And on line two, a voice we've heard before, and it is Stanley. Stanley, how are you?
Very good. How are you guys?
We're terrific. Stanley. How can we help you?
Well, I'm glad I just heard the last caller because he said something that was really interesting. He said, how can I compete against my distributors? And I don't mind cold calling, but what I think we would not have to cold call that much if we got more referrals from our current clients. And my issue is that vendors are more concerned about branding themselves than they are branding the distributors bringing the business in. And I just want to know one thing. My question is this. How do vendors such as Norwood think that printing Norwood.com on the outside of every box in huge giant letters that goes to my end users, how do they think that's going to make my phone ring? Because all I know is that I wish the boxes went out in blank boxes so that when they had more questions or boxes that had my name on it, because I just know that this industry is getting all, you know, twisted around by vendors wanting to brand themselves rather than the distributors who are bringing the business to them.
I can't speak for them, but I know that a lot of suppliers in this industry will refer all the end user requests that come to them to distributors within that area. So, that's the best answer I can come with. Not speaking for Norwood or any other supplier in the industry.
Yeah, but that's been the problem in this industry right now, and that is. Yes, they all say that they don't sell direct, but here somebody sends a whole bunch of, they send 10,000, they sell 10,000 mugs, and you would think that the distributor should get the referrals for those mugs, and instead what's happening is they call Norwood.com or a lot of the vendors direct, and the vendors send the customer to just any distributor. It's not rewarding the right behavior. I would like to see the mindset of our industry go back to a rewarding the right behavior. Somebody selling a lot of products, they should somehow earn the referrals off that product.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I love your show so much is because I think that you've got the ear of the vendors and the distributors, and I think that you guys could influence this idea greatly.
Well, Stanley, it sounds like something that could be a possible article for one of our magazines. And again, thanks for calling. Stay on the line. Samantha will get your information. We will get a Visa gift card out to you. All right, moving on. Some employees are feeling a little burned out nowadays.
Not you, Joe.
No.
You are bright and early every
day.
Kathy, you were adamant about that.
I try to be. Energizer JoJo.
Yes, Kathy's a little burned out. Well, John Gordon is a speaker and a consultant, and he's the author of the new book, The Shark and the Goldfish, Positive Ways to Thrive During Waves of Change. So it's always important to do for your employees what's best and for your clients to do for their employees what's best. So he has 9 tips here, and I'm only going to give you a handful of them. 1, model good behavior.
Yes.
Model good behavior. So come in the morning, coming, you know, cheerful. Say good morning, you know, because that will kind of spread like a virus. People who are greeted, you know, in a happy way will tend to treat others and greet others in a happy way. Tell energy vampires it's time to get on the bus or off the bus.
Why are you looking at me, Joe?
Just looking in this general directions. Dave, what do you think about that? Energy vampires.
Vampires.
Wow.
They suck the energy right out of you.
They suck the life out of you.
They absolutely do, and they can be very draining to deal with. So it's time to tell them, look, get with the program. Or, you know,
you have to do that
get
one
off
on
the
one.
Bus.
One-on-one. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're, sit down with them.
You're not going to do that in a group setting. Here's another one from teacher employees to be heroes and not victims. And victims can always be difficult to work with because, you know, it's woe is me. I didn't know this. So if you teach them to be heroes and be proactive, you're going to have better results there. I got one more for you. Focus on the small wins. And I know that better than anyone else. I have a soccer team right now that we don't focus on, you know, wins and losses or goals scored because we've scored one and have 36 scored against us. We focus on the little things, and we measure our successes that way. So while we look at our overall record, if I can make a sports comparison, we are whatever, oh, and whatever. I mean, we have no wins, one goal scored, but we, you know, focus on the positive things that we did, and we try to build on them each and every game.
Donuts.
Very good.
Donuts. Would be good.
Donuts?
Donuts would be very good.
Dave, you bring donuts in.
I do. And doesn't it cheer people up in the office?
But that's not really about winning. That's about us putting money into your donut box for cursing.
Yeah, but that's teaching us good behavior, at least.
Our little secret is let out. So anyway, we will have this full article posted on our website later on today. So check it out. There's a total of 9 tips. I was able to give you a few there. Now, we are moving on to the lovely Nicole Rollander.
Thank you, Joe.
She has a look at some obnoxious attitudes you might run into in the office.
Can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out who fits in the one, but they're kind of broad. But, you know, it's sort of like your tips. They're things that we can learn from. So the first one is the yes person. And this isn't what you think. It's not the person who says yes to every task. It's the person who sucks up to the boss and who kind of alienates other people. So if Joe tells me a secret, you know, I run off and say, Melinda, Joe told me a secret. You know, so it's the person who's really
annoying.
Yeah, brown noser type person. I don't think we have any of those.
No.
Captain Killjoy is the next one.
Yeah, we have one of those.
Naysayer, but it's more like the person who just any project they shoot down and they say, oh, there's no way we can do that. I mean, I think in our department, we have a pretty can-do attitude.
Yeah,
we're all very, you know, we have a short turnaround time and we all jump on and, and help out. The drama queen. So this is the person who comes in and says, oh, my dog died. Oh, my husband's cheating on me. Oh, you know, my sister's on The Price is Right and I'm not. Like, it's the person who just complains all the time. And then the final one is the star of the show.
The Price is Right.
This is the person who, no matter what is going on, they have to be the center of attention and, you know, kind of steal the limelight from other people. So like Joe said, you know,
Oh, my God.
It's like, you know, share the love. Like, if, you know, if there's a project and different people help you out, you know, spotlight them, thank them, let everybody know that they helped out.
Right.
So.
Well, thanks a lot, Nicole.
I'm disappointed that nobody fits into those characters.
I know. I was asking Dave what category I would be in.
I need to accomplish something for you later.
Well, we're all obnoxious in our own little ways.
Right. We have a separate list.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Nicole. All right. We're going to move on. Dave, there's four sectors that will lead the markets coming up.
That's right. And there is no adequate segue between what Nicole was talking about and this in this area
because
here.
Because Dave's not obnoxious, ever.
Not at all.
Ever.
CNBC, listen up, surveyed economists about the best investment sectors for 2010. And I want to be clear, we're talking about more stock market related here. And of course, you can relate them to selling trends. Number one, the financial market, and the reason more mergers are predicted in 2010. And we're thinking here more efficiency and some greater yield. Non-banking firms could do well in 2010, and firms with investment banking franchises predicted to do well. Number two, technology sector. And we're thinking here that the companies with money will spend it not on people, but on technology, which is kind of a shame, but it does make sense. Technology sector could do very well next year. Number three makes perfect sense to me, and that's industrials. And we're talking companies like Caterpillar, infrastructure and equipment companies with so much government funding, you really can't go wrong, you know, with the industrial sector. And number four, sort of the old standby, is healthcare. But we're not thinking so much pharmaceuticals, but diagnostic, orthopedic companies, those that specialize in genetics and testing over the typical drug manufacturers. And one final little nugget for you here, economists overall are saying you should put your money stock market related outside the United States instead of in the United States and in countries like China, Brazil, and those in Eastern Europe, thinking they are a little bit more progressive, especially on those technology fronts that could be going up next year.
Well, very good. Well, thank you for that report, Dave. We're going to move on to more positive news. Kathy has a look at some positive employment outlooks.
Employment numbers, yeah. The National Association for Business Economics says more U.S. firms are planning to hire and increase investment in the next 6 months. So that's a really positive sign. The survey was of 78 members, and it showed more companies also increased capital spending during the third quarter of 2009 than cut spending. And this was the first time this happened since October 2008. So experts are saying that this is new evidence that the U.S. recovery is underway. And the members also expect U.S. gross domestic product to be positive in 2010. So yeah, That's all good signs.
It went up in the third quarter.
It did.
GDP, 3.5%.
Yep. So there you go.
And the talent pool is pretty big right now,
right,
too.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of people to pick from.
Yep.
So your clients might be looking at, again, employee recruitment programs, something we talked about on last week's show.
That's right.
If you need to listen to that, it is archived on asicentral.com.
Yeah, definitely
radio.
Contact your HR clients and all the people who do the recruiting, because it's going to be up.
It's going to be hot.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Kathy. Unfortunately, we are out of time today. I don't have anything to get off my chest because of that. But we thank you for listening. Tune in next week, where we will be live again from our studios here in Trevose, PA. We're out.